I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Ndola Prada at UC Berkeley, Martine Holston at Venture Strategies, and Dr. Emmanuel Gassesu of Mekelle University in Tigray, Ethiopia. I have nothing to disclose. Today, I will be presenting the results of an analysis that I worked on while I was at UC Berkeley in the doctoral program in epidemiology, of an analysis that seeks to understand factors associated with post-abortion contraceptive choices of women seeking abortion-related services within the context of a comprehensive abortion care pilot project in Tigray, Ethiopia. By way of background, a recent report from the Ethiopian Ministry of Health estimated that approximately 35% of maternal deaths in the country were related to unsafe abortion. A 2005 revision of the Ethiopian Penal Code decriminalized abortion, permitting abortion without gestational limit for a wide array of circumstances, including if the pregnancy is a danger to the life, health, or mental health of the mother, in cases of rape, incest, fetal anomaly, or if a woman is under 18 and unprepared for childbearing. While the new law greatly expands access to safe legal abortion in Ethiopia, studies have demonstrated that legislation is only one step of the process in eliminating unsafe abortion. Lack of knowledge, stigma surrounding abortion, and barriers to access to services contribute to persistently high rates of unsafe abortion and its negative sequelae. According to the 2010 DHS in Ethiopia, close to one-third of births in Ethiopia are either mistimed or unwanted. Unmet need for family planning is high, and an estimated 30% of maternal deaths are still abortion-related. The groundbreaking change in the legal status of abortion in Ethiopia provides an unprecedented opportunity for integrating family planning counseling and services into programs that provide access to safe abortion and post-abortion care. Such integration of services affords great potential to simultaneously reduce the incidence of unsafe abortion, decrease the extraordinary burden of maternal mortality and morbidity in Ethiopia, and address the problems of unmet need and unplanned pregnancies. The comprehensive abortion care pilot study took place in the northernmost region of Ethiopia called Tigray. The project provided a full range of abortion-related services and family planning, including safe termination, treatment of incomplete abortion, contraceptive counseling and services, and referral. This pilot program introduced a comprehensive abortion care strategy into all levels of the healthcare system. The health post level, which is a community-based health facility, the health center, which is more of a regional health facility, and hospitals. At select health facilities in three zones of the Tigray region in Ethiopia. The services are designed to effectively and realistically reach the majority of women in need by tailoring them to different levels of the healthcare system to facilitate women's access to services. This chart gives you an idea of what services were provided at each of the different levels of the health system in the study. According to the law, and depending on the level of provider and the capacity of the health facility, all available safe and effective methods of pregnancy termination were used in the study. This included surgical methods and medication, both misoprostol and mifepristone combined and misoprostol alone. For treatment of women who sought care for incomplete abortions, both medical abortion and surgical methods of care were provided. All consenting women received post-abortion contraceptive services that included family planning counseling, and when provision of an effective contraceptive method was accepted, they went home with one. Appropriate referral linkages were established at all levels to ensure comprehensive provision of services. So here we're looking at a map of the study sites. The study took place in three zones of the Tigray region: Mekelle, which is the southern zone, Gana Afeshtim, which is the eastern zone, and Kola Tembien, which is the central zone. Four hospitals with a varying number of different health centers in each of the regions, but four hospitals were also included in the study. So data for this analysis were collected using the service delivery form filled out by the provider during the abortion service visit. The form included all of the patient's medical history, social and demographic information, kind of using the service delivery form filled out by the provided bivariate analyses to assess socio-demographic characteristics, reproductive history, prior contraceptive history, and post-abortion contraceptive choices. We constructed a directed acyclic graph to hypothesize potential causal pathways, generate a structural causal model, and assess sufficiency of control for confounding in our model, and we used generalized linear models for our multivariable regression. So again, our study population includes 4,354 women seeking abortion-related services between June of 2009 and June of 2010. Just to give you a sense of what women were presenting for, 94% of women came for terminations, and only 6% of women arrived seeking treatment of incomplete abortions. 91% of women seeking terminations received medication abortions in our study. So just a picture of our study population, 20% of respondents were between the ages of 15 and 19, 55% between 20 and 24, 16% between 25 and 30, and 9% above the age of 30. In terms of education, 18% of respondents reported a lack of literacy, 29% reported a primary level of education, 37% reported a secondary level of education, and 12% reported above secondary level of education. 58% of our respondents were single, so the majority. 27% reported being married, in union, or cohabitating, and 8% reported themselves as widows or divorced. The large majority of our population reported living within an hour of the health facility, about 72% of the health facility where they were being seen for abortion-related services. About 15% reported living between 1 and 3 hours from the health facility. About 72% of the hours away. We asked a number of questions related to our participants' reproductive and contraceptive histories. I want to call your attention to a few notable responses. Approximately 20% of the women in our study reported ever having an abortion previously. Approximately 43% of our population reported ever use of contraception, any contraception, prior to this abortion. And of those reporting ever use, injectables was the most common at 54%, followed by the pill at 44%. During their visit, as I mentioned, women received comprehensive contraceptive counseling, and 69% of all women in our study left their appointment with a method of contraception. The large majority of women who received a method of contraception at their first visit chose injectable contraceptives. Followed by pills. In multivariable analysis, we were interested in identifying factors that might be associated with choosing a contraceptive method after abortion. From our DAG, we identified the following variables of interest to include in our final model. We were interested in what treatment they sought, so whether they were seeking pregnancy termination or post-abortion care services, the number of living children that they had, whether or not they had ever had a prior abortion, whether or not their pregnancy, the pregnancy for which they were seeking termination, had been planned, the provider type who had provided contraceptive counseling, so whether it was a physician, a nurse or nurse midwife, a health officer, which is an advanced practice contraceptive, which is sort of a community level health professional who has a basic level of training and in Ethiopia can provide medication abortion at the health post level. And then again, health facility, so which health facility they were seeking treatment at, whether it was at the health post level, the health center, which again is a regional and then again, health facility. So which health facility they were seeking treatment at, whether it was at. In multivariable analysis, we were interested in the association of the variables of interest with choosing any method of contraception, including natural methods such as withdrawal, lactation, amenorrhea, or the calendar method, as well as their association with choosing a modern method of contraception. So looking at factors associated with choosing any method of contraception, women who were counseled by nurses and health officers were more likely to choose any method as compared to women who were counseled by physicians. Women who were seeking termination services as opposed to seeking post-abortion care were more likely to choose any method. And women who already had children were also more likely to choose any method, with incremental increases for each additional child. Women who sought treatment in a facility other than a hospital, women whose pregnancies were unplanned, and women who ever had a previous abortion were slightly less likely to choose a method of contraception. When we restricted our analysis to looking at women who chose a modern method of contraception, being counseled by a provider or other than a physician made it less likely that women would choose a modern method of contraception. We did see a slight increase in likelihood if women sought treatment in a facility other than a hospital. It's most likely a health center. We had very few women seeking services at the health post level. So just a few limitations. These are cross-sectional data, so we have no causal implications. We're just talking about associations here in our data. In terms of generalizability, the study is limited by the fact that it was conducted within a region of Ethiopia where a large number of reproductive health interventions have taken place, and conducted within a pilot project that sought to increase access to abortion services. So it's unlikely that our findings are generalizable to the larger population in Ethiopia, but certainly of interest to see what happens for women seeking abortion services in circumstances where abortion is widely available in Ethiopia. And of course we have self-reported data for some of our socio-demographic characteristics. So in conclusion, our descriptive analyses suggest that women in the study were indeed receptive to contraceptive counseling and did adopt methods of contraception after having an abortion. Our results also indicate a strong preference for injectable methods of contraception among our study population. And finally, our multivariable analyses seem to suggest that the type of provider matters. If women are more likely to choose any method of contraception when counseled by advanced practice clinicians, but more likely to choose a modern method of contraception when counseled by physicians, it might indicate some provider preference or even provider bias, and might speak to the need for better training of both physicians and non-physicians to provide unbiased, objective contraceptive counseling. So again, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and our funders and the study team in Ethiopia. And thank you very much. I thought I would put in a little plug for a study that I'm doing in my new role at ANSWER at UCSF, which is the Global Turnaway Study. If any of you were at the Turnaway Study panels yesterday, they were really exciting. We're hoping to take some of those questions internationally. We also happen to be crowdfunding for our new study. We're the first group at UCSF to launch a crowdfunding campaign to see if we can leverage social media to help us fund a new study. So go visit our website, see what you think. All donations are tax deductible, and it's pretty exciting to launch a new path for alternative funding mechanisms. Thanks a lot.